Okay, we're all pretty familiar with the Pilgrim First Thanksgiving story, as we absolutely should be. As we saw with our slides and bulletin, many of us are familiar with how Thanksgiving as an American holiday came into being with Abraham Lincoln, making it an official holiday and day of celebration. But what I thought would be interesting as well as profitable, we're going to do one more week here. We're going to do a Thanksgiving message today and kick off with Luke next week. But what I thought would be interesting and, again, profitable for us to explore this morning and even this week of Thanksgiving are what I've come to call expressions of Thanksgiving that we might find in the Scriptures. In other words, where Thanksgiving is present, is there a reaction or is there a result from the person who is experiencing Thanksgiving that we should be looking for? Should Thanksgiving in some way move us towards something else? Is it a catalyst for other thoughts, words, or actions? And obviously I believe so, and I believe we'll see that in the Scriptures today. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank You for the time that we've had already to be together to worship You in song and in our giving. And now, Lord, we desire to worship You with the teaching and understanding of Your Word. Help it, Lord, to ring true to us, obviously, to dwell deep in us, that, Lord, it would, as Hebrews 4:12 say, be living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We just pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and start with a definition, not that we have to spend a lot of time on that, but the most common word in the Old Testament for thanks is the Hebrew word yada, which literally means to throw down, as in your hands. But here it means to give thanks. Throw down your hands, I guess, in thanks. It's also translated praise, glorify, revere, worship, confess. The Hebrew word for thanksgiving is todah and means pretty much the same thing. Both certainly have to do with the idea of gratitude, of being grateful. In the Old Testament, thanks or thanksgiving is almost synonymous with praising God, giving God praise. The two go hand in hand. Now, in the New Testament, there are two main Greek words for thanks and thanksgiving. Charis, which literally means grace, but is also translated thanks, and a compound of that word, eucharistia, which means gratitude. And without question, thanks, thankfulness, thanksgiving are most often directed towards God in the Scriptures, and in an overarching sense, really is an acknowledgement of His excellent worthiness, both in His attributes and His acts. Or to put it another way, His person and His performance, who He is and what He does. Everything we could say from His perfection, His excellence, His beauty, His glory, His greatness, His virtues, His majesty, His honor, His power, to His acts, His works, His expressions, His benefits, His blessings, His gifts, deeds, victories, and even helps. And today we are not going to go into so much the reasons we should thank God, though there be many, but rather what we are interested in this morning is exploring from the pages of Scripture, what should our actual response be in the context of our being thankful and in our gratitude? Let's start here. Think about this. How do you show thankfulness or gratitude to other people? I mean, do you say, thank you? Maybe you smile. Maybe you sing their praises as Tiger Lily did to Peter Pan when Peter helped her out and helped her tribe against the evil Captain Hook, saying, Peter Pan is the sun and the moon and the stars. To which, if you remember, Peter replies, yes, I know. Do you include some kind of physical affection, like a handshake or a slap on the back? Maybe you give your honey bunny a big sloppy kiss when you're thankful, or a relative of yours a big bear hug. Do you send a card? Do you give a gift? Do you offer some money? Do you try and do something special for someone? Maybe treat them really well? I would suggest to you that for the most part, when we are truly thankful to somebody or for something, this gratefulness wells up inside of us in the form of some kind of response, in either thought or in word or deed, or at least it should. It should. And again, what I'm interested in this morning is what kind of a response should we have when thankfulness towards the Lord wells up inside of us? When we are truly grateful for who He is, we are truly thankful for what He does. Is it something that's just there in our hearts? It's just kind of there in our thoughts? Should we say anything to God? Maybe we give Him at least a cursory thanks? Like He just passed us the Brussels sprouts at the dinner table? Or is it more of a, thanks, God? Like somebody just bought you lunch? Or is it a wow, thanks, God? You know, as in you just got a 60-inch flat-screen TV for Christmas? Or is it like, awesome, yes, thank you, God, praise your name? As if somebody just gave you an all-expenses-paid trip to Disneyland. Do we show our thankfulness by our actions? Maybe do we do something for the Lord? Buy Him a gift? You know, in other words, does our gratitude propel us to demonstrate our thankfulness? Again, let's see what the Bible says here about how thankfulness and gratitude toward God are conveyed so that we might compare ourselves and see where we're matching up and where we're not. And in so doing, I want you to see 10 expressions of thankfulness found in the Bible that people had when they were filled with thanksgiving and gratitude. Number one, praise, worship, and glory to God. That is a response that we see in the Scriptures that people had when in a mode of thankfulness or gratitude. Praise, worship, and glory to God. This includes everything in the Scriptures, from building an altar and sacrificing animals to Him, to praying, to speaking praises to Him, to dancing for Him, singing for Him. Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. We'll be cruising all over the Scriptures this morning. Genesis chapter 9, starting in verse 20. Back in the Old Testament, a common way to express thankfulness... Oh, I already think I got that wrong. Yep, I did get that wrong. Hold on. Chapter 8. Sorry, chapter 8. Genesis 8, 20. Back in the Old Testament, again, a common way to express thankfulness was through sacrifice. Sacrificing animals. When God delivered Noah and his family safely through the flood and they came out of the ark, do you think that his family was just a wee bit thankful? Amen. Sure they were. Look at how he expressed it in Genesis 8, 20-22. It says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." In other words, Noah did the right thing here. He did the right thing. Verse 21, "For the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. And the Lord said to Himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." There was a response from Noah, and it turned out it was the right response in his thankfulness. Abraham did the same when Isaac was spared from death by Abraham's own hand. And after that, what did Abraham do? He sacrificed. That was the method there that would be pleasing to God, to show your thankfulness, to show your gratitude. He sacrificed to the Lord. When the temple was finally rebuilt and dedicated after the people returned to Jerusalem from their 70-year exile in Babylon, they demonstrated their thankfulness to God with one colossal barbecue, folks. They sacrificed 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, 12 male goats. Probably the most obvious response of showing gratitude to God when we are thankful is going to be through our thoughts and even our words. That'll be the most common way. King Nebuchadnezzar was driven out of his kingdom and away from mankind, if you remember, to live with the beasts of the field, to eat grass because of his pride. And when Nebuchadnezzar finally repented and acknowledged God, God restored him. And he gave him back his kingdom and all the perks to go with it. Needless to say, you can imagine, Nebuchadnezzar was grateful. And this gratefulness propelled him in Daniel 4:37 to say this, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven. For all his works are true and his ways are just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride." Pointing the finger back to himself. In the New Testament, who could forget the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed to have only one return to show and give thanks? As the Scripture says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a small voice, loud voice." He wasn't bashful, friends. In fact, he wanted everybody to hear. "And he fell on his face at his feet," Jesus' feet, "giving thanks to him." Let me ask you, has thankfulness ever welled up inside of you so much that you found yourself even, boom, prostrate on the ground? Yeah, amen. I've had that experience. I can't say it's happened, you know, umpteen times or what have you, but I remember one time I was a relatively new believer, and at our previous church, I was allowed to direct a gospel play, and it was just an immensely awesome experience for me. It was gratifying to myself, but even more so in the process, it truly drew me closer to the Lord and relying on Him and just what He was allowing to happen through this play and take place. And I'll never forget when it was all over and it was all done. After our last performance, and we had gone out, and the cast from church all hung out and had a nice time, and I went home, and I was so thankful and so grateful, even for this weird thing of putting on a play for the glory of God. And it just, man, I found myself on the ground. I couldn't get myself low enough because I was just thankful and grateful to the Lord for His goodness. It was like if I could have gotten into the dirt, you know, I would have dug a hole or something. There's the paralytic on the mat whose friends lowered him down through the roof of Luke 5. And immediately after being healed, he got up before them and he picked up what he had been lying on and he went home, glorifying God. That's what he did as he went home when he went home. It wasn't just that he went home. He glorified God. Thankfulness, friends, should drive you to prayer. And prayer for even others. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our Lord and God, our God and Father." They were thankful for these people that were believers. And that thanks then was demonstrated in their being turned to prayer and praying for people. Let me ask you something. You like to dance? How about dancing for the Lord? Pull out those ballet slippers, shine up those tap shoes, dust off those clogs. Because after God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites and allowed them to pass through to safety, He then wiped out Pharaoh's entire army of those who went into the sea in hot pursuit, having it close up over them, you know the story, killing them all. You can imagine the Israelites' thankfulness and gratitude when they were on the other side watching all this happen. In fact, it's at that time that Moses and the sons of Israel, along with Aaron's sister Miriam and all the women, with their timbrels and voices, had a good old-fashioned hoedown in honor of God. They danced because they were thankful and grateful. Even David himself was fond of doing a jig to demonstrate his thankfulness. As when God, for thankfulness for the Lord's blessings, when God allowed him to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David, Jerusalem, in 2 Samuel 6:14, it says that David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. That is how he danced. You might remember that his wife, Michal didn't quite share the same enthusiasm, even despising him in her heart for his dancing. Speaking of David, he was a man who also knew how to sing. He knew how to make music to the Lord when thanking God and rescuing and delivering him from, quote, the evil sword, as he calls it in Psalm 144, saying, I will sing. I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you for his thankfulness. The same David in Psalm 145, 4-7 declares with a thankful heart, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully at your righteousness. Coming from a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. Friends, how do you worship and praise God with your thankfulness? Not saying that you all have to do all of these all the time. But just, you know, look into your own heart, into your own life and see how is it that you do? If you do, do you do? Do you speak to Him and tell Him thank you? Do you just stop? Take a moment from your busy day even and pray to Him, speaking wonderful words of thanksgiving. Do you sing to Him? Doesn't even necessarily mean you got to do it in public. Do you dance for Him? Well, hey, you come to tonight's Pie and Praise. Instead of having a tribal stomp, we'll have our first ever First Baptist Church Weaverville church stomp. You can bring your dancing shoes. I'm kidding. Relax. I'm not going to make you dance. Do you sacrifice for Him? Unless you want to. Okay. Do you sacrifice for Him? Offering your words and your deeds. Lord, wow, just because I'm so grateful for how you've treated me. Lord, I want to do such and such for you. Or I want to offer some extra time for you. I want to give a special gift for you. I want to give a special offering for you because of what you've done for me. Thank you. Are you even spontaneous with your thanks? Do you let your gratefulness be known to others, like the one who was healed? Just, you know, glory to God, boom, loud voice on the ground in front of Jesus, not caring what people saw or thought or anything. Or are you afraid to go public with your thanks? What will you do to express your thanks and gratitude to God that He might be praised, worshipped, and glorified? These first, say, three are kind of our longer ones. It'll kind of speed up as we get to some of the ones on the back end. Number two, purposefully remembering. This is an expression of thanks. Purposefully remembering. In parentheses, maybe, memorials. Right? Giving your children names that would honor God and serve as memorials was a popular Old Testament tradition. Even Pharaoh made Joseph second in command over Egypt, thus ending some pretty severe trials for Joseph, he also gave him a wife who bore him 2 sons. Joseph memorialized his thankfulness to God in the names he chose for them. You remember that? Manasseh, because he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. And the second, Ephraim, quote, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction, end quote, from Genesis 41. I remember one time talking with some fellows from Africa, and we got on the subject of names and what their names meant and whatnot, and they made the comment that whenever somebody, you know, dad or whatever, names people there in Africa, the names mean something. You know, and it's not something that we're quite as accustomed to. I mean, sometimes we pick names, you know, that mean something, or sometimes just because we like it. But there, it's a big deal to do that. When something significant happened in the Old Testament that caused people to be thankful, they would often erect some kind of memorial so that even future generations would remember what God had done and their gratefulness to Him. Such was the case when God led the Israelites through the Jordan River, parting it in much the same way that He did the Red Sea, and allowing the group to walk across again on dry land. Do you think they were thankful? You bet! So much so that Joshua wanted future generations to know the goodness and power of God by erecting a stone memorial. Do you do anything to remember or remind yourself of God's gratitude? Of God's goodness? Excuse me, your gratitude, not God's. For instance, I know people who like to record in journals all the ways that God has blessed them. Big ways, small ways, medium ways, whatever. So that they will never forget and continually thank Him. I mean, really, that's an awesome thing to do. If you have the discipline to do that, it's an awesome thing because, let's face it, when you get old, it's not just your body that starts to sag. Your mind starts going too, doesn't it? It does. And it's tougher to remember things. And frankly, as you get older, you get to that point, you can't even remember your own name, let alone some of these tremendous nuggets of gold that God has given you through the years. I know that's something for Julie and I that we haven't formally done in the form of a journal, but boy, we keep track of these things and we'll find ourselves talking about them, reminding ourselves of them, remembering them. I've shared some of those, especially like through the seminary years, that were just extraordinary things going on and praising and thanking God and just wanting to remember those times. And let me tell you, it's a great faith strengthener, and it's also an awesome way to be encouraged when maybe you need some extra faith, when maybe you need some extra encouragement. You know, you pop open that journal that you got, or you open up your mind and go to the recall files there, and you let yourself just be filled with the sweet nectar of God's blessings. And you remember how grateful you are, how good God is, how He has been. And you reminisce and remind yourself and remind those around you, your spouse or family members or friends, and let that serve to strengthen you, encourage you, remind you of those awesome times that the Lord has cared for you and how thankful you are. Next one. Obedience. Number three, obedience. You want to be obedient and do the will of God? Then be grateful for everything. This is what we see in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." How easy is that? You want to do God's will? Give thanks. If you give thanks, you know you're doing God's will. Turn to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 29. Matthew 20 and verse 29. This is just prior to Jesus' entry back into Jerusalem for the last time before His crucifixion. And Matthew writes this: "As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David!' And the crowd sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us!' And as Jesus stopped and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to Him, 'Lord, we want our eyes to be opened.' Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight." End of story? No. "And followed Him." Now, I take this as an act of placing themselves under the authority of Jesus. Their gratitude and thankfulness for the Lord healing their bodies and souls translated into their submission and obedience to Christ. They followed Him. And why shouldn't we obey God from a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness? You know, my my mom or dad blessed me as a kid in some way. I mean, I just wanted to do whatever I could for them. I was thankful for the way that they treated me, or grateful maybe for some kind of blessing that they bestowed upon me. And my natural reaction was just simply to want to comply with their standards and rules. At least for a time. Till the next day. The thing with the Lord is that for the Christian, the blessings don't just come every so often, do they? Because there's that initial and ongoing blessing of eternal life that should cause us to always and continually be thankful. Then, of course, there's all of the other blessings that come our way in the course of our life. Spiritual blessings, to be sure. But sometimes there's even temporal ones as well. I mean, why should we, out of a deep gratitude, not want to submit ourselves to the Lord and follow Him? Number four, exalt God's Word. Expressions of thankfulness. An expression of thankfulness would be to exalt God's Word. After the temple was rebuilt, Nehemiah started in on the wall around Jerusalem. You men that were at our last men's prayer breakfast heard Pastor Jim Jarrett talk about that and the rebuilding of the wall in Nehemiah. And when it was finished, it caused Israel's enemies to, in Nehemiah's words, lose their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Do you think the people were thankful? Do you think that they maybe were just a wee bit grateful to God, not just for bringing them out of exile and returning them to their homeland, but for the rebuilding of their place of worship, the temple, the city, and its walls? You bet they were. Most certainly. So much so that Governor Nehemiah organized a little dedication party. Actually, it was a giant, big, humongous dedication party, of which was recorded in Nehemiah chapters 7 to 10. Let me tell you, it was an amazing day in which they had gathered everybody inside the city and invited Ezra to be the guest of honor and keynote speaker. Let me just read from you Nehemiah 8, 1 to 6. It says, "And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month, and he read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday." Can I just read that again? "From early morning until midday. In the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law." From morning, early morning to midday. "Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose." Huh, we got one right here. Now we're skipping ahead to verse 5. "Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." Is that reverence? Is that respect? Is that awe for God's Word? "They stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, 'Amen! Amen!' while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Friends, that is how these people showed their thankfulness to God, their gratitude. They read His Word. They worshipped Him. Oh yeah, did I mention that it was from early morning to midday? And they were attentive by the grace of God. No, I'm not. You guys are totally attentive. I love you all. I love preaching to you and with you and for you. And just having fun. We shouldn't even have to discuss the importance and value of reading God's Word, should we? It's only everything we need for life and godliness, faith and practice. It's only the lifeblood that keeps our bodies and souls alive. What if every time we were thankful for something, we recalled a Bible verse? What if every time we were thankful for something, we just
we recalled a verse in Scripture. Or just stopped and read a chapter. Or two. Or three. God's Word is fuel for the fire, friends. Fuel for the fire of knowing how to please God, which also involves blessing and more thankfulness. Let me ask you this. When you're away, far away from His Word, and the dust has been gathering, do you generally feel blessed and filled with gratitude? Or are you starting to feel the dryness of the desert? Be hydrated, friends. Be blessed. Be thankful. Run back to God's Word. Be blessed. Be thankful. Run back to God's Word. Be blessed. Be thankful. You get the idea. Now we could say that the rest, numbers 5 to 8, and this is where we'll start speeding up a little bit here, are really under the umbrella of obedience in some form or fashion. But let's kind of separate them out a little bit here. Number 5, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Turn to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. Imagine your own flesh and blood. They viciously turn on you. They throw you into a pit, sell you into slavery, separating you from all you loved, all you held dear. Sometime later, you are accused of a crime. A crime you did not commit, and thrown into prison for 3 years. You finally get out by a pardon from the king. And because of your wisdom, you are given a position of great power and prominence. 10 years plus go by, and your brothers, the ones who treated you so despicably, have the nerve to show up. Though they don't recognize you, you recognize them, and all of those old memories of what they did to you just kind of start to flood to the surface. And what's more, they want something from you. You are now in a position where their very lives are in your hands. You decide, it's time for a little payback. Revenge will be sweet. After all they put you through, nobody would begrudge you or say that they didn't deserve what they had coming. And though this might be the route that you or I would choose, thankfully it wasn't the route Joseph chose, huh? It's not the way Joseph reacted, son of Jacob. No, he didn't do that. In fact, after his brothers returned to the palace with Benjamin, Joseph's full-blood brother, Joseph starts to emotionally break down from overwhelming joy. And when he finally reveals himself to them, it's quite a scene, to be sure. Be reminded at this point, Joseph could have seriously hated his brothers. He could have sought to give them their just deserts, but Joseph understood God's hand in it all. And I believe that what we see in Joseph is such a deep and grateful, heartfelt gratitude towards God for God's sovereignty, for God's providence over this situation and how everything worked out, that this is what moves him to such easy forgiveness towards his brothers. With his brothers before him, and when Joseph could stand it no longer, look at Genesis 45, starting in verse 1, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me!" So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph! Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. You gotta love that. Deer caught in the headlights. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please, come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Verse 15, He kissed all his brothers and wept on them. And afterwards his brothers talked with him. Is this not the way the wicked slave should have reacted to the one that owed him a debt? As his master forgave him of such a huge amount, should his gratitude not have been overflowing so as to offer the same forgiveness to the one who owed him? Friends, has the Lord not forgiven you? Has the Lord not forgiven me? Wiped our slates clean? Completely? Even forgiving you for you while you were in open rebellion against Him. How can we not forgive our brothers? How can we not forgive our sisters? Number 6, giving. Turn to Luke 19. Luke 19. A familiar story to most of us. Luke 19, starting in verse 2. There was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, this would be the scribes, the Pharisees, those kind of folks, when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In his thankfulness and his gratitude, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." I don't think we need to spend a lot of time here, folks. It just should be more or less an obvious. When you are thankful for what someone has given you, in the case of Zacchaeus, he was given salvation. Do you not have a desire just to give to someone else? Yes, we should. Maybe somebody's given something to us. Maybe God's given you things. Maybe other people have given you things, whatever it might be. Maybe you just need to try it. Try giving something to someone else, to God. Are you thankful for having been blessed? Then turn around and bless someone else. Just try it. Just try it. See the blessing that even will return to you. Pay it forward. Keep it going. Number 7, serving. Hebrews 12:28. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." That is where our heart for service comes from, friends. It comes from our gratitude to God for having received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Eternal life. The new heavens and the new earth. Yes, salvation, sanctification, eventually glorification. Let us now, out of our gratefulness, serve Him while we have the time here on this earth. You know, we mentioned earlier, Earl mentioned all of these different aspects. We have so many aspects and areas of service that you can be a part of here at First Baptist. And we've given you a bunch in the bulletin, things that we're actively looking for, you know. And don't wait to be asked. Don't wait to be asked. That's pride. It's just that. You waiting to be asked is just pride. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Lord, what would you have me do? Yeah, I want to serve. I want to do something. I'm not quite sure what. What, Lord? Should I be moderator? Should I be this? Should I be that? Should I, whatever. Should I fold bulletins, sharpen pencils? Should I, you know, teach Bible study, teach kids, be a want to listener? Whatever. Pray about it. And then step out and start doing it. We gave you a little card in there in your bulletin. You can submit to be considered for a position there. Out of sheer gratitude, Israel's response should have been the same as Joshua's. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Does your thankfulness and gratitude propel you into service? If not, how come? How come? Number 8, contentment. 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 and 8. We've had this one very recently. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be what? Content. Friends, if you are truly thankful, your thankfulness will breed contentment. If you're not content, you're probably not very thankful. Number 9, evangelism. We can't really say enough about this one, but we're running out of time, and so we will just have to consider one brief and kind of extreme example, which I think will make the point well. This is Peter and the apostles. This is in Acts chapter 5. If you want to go there, Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. Peter and the apostles, and they are in custody. They've been in jail. Now they're before the Jewish council for preaching Jesus Christ in the temple and performing many signs and wonders. And in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 42, we see this. And after calling the apostles in, that would be the Jewish council, they flogged them. They beat them. They whipped them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing. They were thankful that they just got beaten and flogged. Why? They were thankful, they were rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. Most of us have a problem with just speaking the gospel to another person, let alone undergoing beating and whipping, and then on top of it, considering that to be a joyful experience, something to give thanks and to be grateful over. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Friends, obviously, if you are thankful for your salvation, shouldn't you just naturally want to share that with someone else? Lastly, in giving God thanks, number 10, you fulfill the will of God. In your giving thanks, in your gratefulness, you actually fulfill the will of God. As we mentioned before, from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. When you give thanks, you're doing God's will. In summary, your expressions of thankfulness, my expressions of thankfulness and gratitude should manifest in giving God praise and worship and glory, in purposefully remembering what God has done that we give Him thanks and are grateful for. It should, our expression of thankfulness should show up in our obedience and in exalting of God's Word. It should be the impetus to forgive. It should propel us to give. It should also encourage us to serve. It should bring about contentment in us. It should spur us on to share the gospel and evangelism with people. And in all of it, we will be fulfilling the will of God by being thankful. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. As far as we are thankful, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. He deserves it. Father God, we just thank You so much for what we have learned, Lord. We recognize that, Lord, yes, we are sinners. Thankfully, we are saved by Your grace, Lord. If there is anyone here this morning, Lord, that needs to repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, all they need to do is pray and just tell You that, God. Even in the quietness of their own heart, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus died for me, rose from the dead for me. I want to turn from my sin and follow You. And they can leave here, Lord, with the grace of God, Your grace, active in their life, a forgiving grace, a sanctifying grace, making them more into the image of Christ. May that be said of each of us, God, this week as we are thankful and we think about Thanksgiving and we think about being grateful, Lord, help us to not just think even of those things that we are thankful and grateful over, although we should, of course. But Lord, really, what does that thankfulness and gratefulness do in us? What are those expressions of thankfulness that we might put forward with our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our words? Amen.